Okay, our final speaker this morning in this portion of the technical program is John Capehart. John Capehart is a mining engineer with Guardvant, and for the past 12 years, John has worked with mining technologies, including proximity detection and fatigue management. Prior to that, he worked for 14 years in the mining industry. As we've heard, in many instances of haul truck close proximity events to other vehicles, personnel, berms, facilities, there's usually an indication of operator fatigue or distraction that have preceded that event. In his presentation, Correlation of Close Proximity Events and Operator Alertness, he will talk about how the correlation of data from integrated onboard proximity detection systems and operator fatigue and alertness systems are enabling a comprehensive analysis of these events. How about a warm welcome for John?
Well, good morning. Thanks for attending. Just bear with me for a little bit. I'm a bit nervous. I started with the Guardvant on the 1st of May, and they, as a new guy, I got stuck with giving the presentation. So just give me a chance to warm up here a little bit. They tell you that you're supposed to, if you're a little bit nervous, before you give a presentation, to picture your audience in their underwear, but I tell you what, that's not helping much. And the first thing that popped in my mind was Mike, so that's not working at all. Now look, I guess what I'd like to say is that we're going to give this paper about this close proximity events and operator and alertness. Now, myself and my colleague Eric Schmidt, who's here, and he's probably at our booth right now, put this presentation together. And I must say, one of the reasons I'm a bit nervous is that this ties a lot of things that I've observed in our industry all together in one sort of format. But it's a very academic sort of paper, so bear with me as I struggle through this. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is have a bit of an introduction. Now, I'm going to talk about sort of the symptoms of fatigue, because this really revolves around fatigue and proximity detection. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the some of the academic research that's been done in fatigue. And Mike, before me, did a very good general discussion and got into a lot of detail about some of the issues about fatigue. And somebody asked about statistics in the back of the room when she gave a paper. And hopefully some of the research that I show today will sort of answer some of those questions on the issues that Mike brought up. And then, you know, I'm really a mining engineer. And I spent 14, 15 years in mostly operational roles, because if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm a bit of an extrovert. If you haven't figured it out, I'll tell you, I'm an extrovert. And so I always ended up in roles that were shift supervisors, superintendents, technical roles supporting operations peoples. And then for the last 12 or so years, I've been doing technical sales roles in positions where I get to travel all over the world and look at other people's mining operations and see how technology fits into that. And I've spent quite a bit of time dealing with proximity awareness and fatigue monitoring. And then I'd like to talk about some technology that we've developed at Guardvant that links this idea of fatigue and proximity. Okay. As Mike actually stole my thunder on this slide, she says, you know, the mining industry has become much more focused on fatigue in the last few years. And, you know, we are for lack of a better word, an at-risk industry. We work long hours, we do rotating shifts, we work against our circadian rhythm, which Mike also brought up. And, you know, the other thing is we do live in our mine sites, our work areas, in remote locations. So not only do we do a long shift, but we then have to spend an hour getting there and an hour back. So we add another couple of hours to that day. And a lot of people tell me, well, geez, John, you're not telling me anything new. We've been doing this for as long as I've been in the industry, and, you know, I've been pushing three decades now. And the first places I worked did 12-hour rotating shifts. So this has been going on for a long time. And why is this issue of fatigue so important right now? Well, I think one of the things that you have to realize is that the world around us has changed. You know, Mike brought up the point that we sleep 2 hours less than we did in 100 years. I'd like to think that the issue is that we actually sleep an hour less now than we did a decade ago. Okay? And you think about your lifestyle now, the toys you get to play with your phone and your electronics, and the kids have got soccer, clarinet, and piano, and violin, even in the cities, if you live in the city, your commute time becomes longer. So we're actually sleeping an hour less than we did a decade ago, and that's affecting us in a number of ways, and it makes us change the way we act to, in our world around us. All right, so what are some of the symptoms of fatigue? Well, there's issues of concentration, okay, forgetfulness, difficulties in concentrating. We're slower mentally. We're slower physically. It affects our short-term memory. It affects us emotionally. In fact, if you don't believe fatigue's an important issue around you, just think, go look at some of these symptoms and think about some of the people you might work with at a mine site. You know, there's decreased tolerance, irritability, anxiety. That just about describes everybody in our industry, I think. You know, not only does fatigue affect us in the terms of drowsiness, it also affects us in our mental outlook in life in terms of our stress and our burnout levels. And it affects our judgment and our ability to judge risk. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the academics here. All right, so there is a huge body of knowledge within the sleep industry, and you have these, let's call them academics for lack of a better word, right? So usually these people are associated with universities or sleep clinics, okay? And they study sleep in such a way that they design experiments to eke out a certain characteristic of what happens to a person when they're fatigued, all right? So I'm going to go through a couple of papers I found. Then I went online and found a few really good pictures of our industry on the internet, and we'll talk about those in an instant. Okay, so the person was asking for statistics in the back about some of the things that Mike said, you know. I mean, if you look at some of the research, we see that sleep-deprived subjects have problems with risk. They don't judge risk as well as they do. And some of the papers we heard earlier about safety talk about how we actually exposure. Well, if there's exposure, the example of walking across a street, you know, if you're not able to judge the speed of the car or the distance of the car, well, that exposure changes and that risk equation changes, doesn't it? And again, there's this idea that we're going to take more risk. We can't judge the risk when we're fatigued and make decisions. There you go. So, you know, look, these pictures, if your site has to do with this incident, I'm sorry about that. Look, I randomly picked these off the web. But you think about a guy that's working, he's a truck driver, his job is to get as many loads as possible during the day. When this guy was backing into the hopper, he was coming in fast and furious and judging when he could brake and how much speed he could take when he tapped his rear wheels onto the stop at the back of that hopper. So, you know, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, and one of the things that's come to me in through my career is when I got into fatigue management, I suddenly saw every incident through the lens of fatigue. I called it putting on my fatigue glasses, because when I saw an incident like this, I started to ask, well, how much was this guy impaired when he was driving that truck, and how much did fatigue actually play a role in that? I'll have to stand on the other side, I think. Again, it affects our higher level of performance and thinking abilities. And I think the interesting thing about this paper is they discuss the effect of fatigue in boring and repetitive tasks. Now, if you put yourself into a haul truck driver's seat, and one of the last places that I worked as an engineer, the place was 350 meters deep in Western Australia. So at a 10% grade, that's 3.5 kilometers out of the pit. So I think the average haul cycle there was about 30 minutes. And most of that was grinding away at 7 or 8 miles an hour out of the pit. So what if you're a fatigued person, how does that affect your performance? And since we're talking about Australia, let's pick on dozer operators for a minute. This incident happened in central Queensland at a coal mine. This particular dozer operator drove his light vehicle out into his work area, and 20 minutes later promptly backed over it with a dozer. Now, you know, geez, I guess he forgot where he parked. But how, again, if you think about that with your fatigue lenses on, exactly what was his effect on that, on this incident? Here's another interesting study. Mike brought up the issue of even just an hour less sleep affects you. Well, here was an academic study where they actually took 60-something subjects in a controlled environment, controlled the amount of sleep that they had. So one group had 3 hours sleep a night, another group had five, another seven, another nine. So you can see how much sleep they had over each day. And then they gave them these reactionary tests to check their performance and their ability to perform certain tasks. Again, you can see that the group that had 3 hours sleep had this really large decrease in performance. And in fact, every group had a large decrease in performance. Now, one of the other interesting things about this study was that at the end of 7 days, they were put back onto a full 9 hour or 8 hour rest period, and their performance still didn't recover during the 3-4 days on that study. And since we're picking on Australian dozer operators, same story. This guy backed over his own light vehicle. Now, I just noticed this picture this morning. Are the guys from GE here? Oh, good. Let's pick on them. Okay. Anybody recognize what that is? You guys just bought this technology about 6 months ago. And what's really sad is I used to sell that. So if there's anybody in the room I sold this system to, this backup, this proximity detection and backup camera, I really apologize. And in fact, if you see me at my booth, I'll sell you something better now. So, you know, if you think about this idea of what this dozer operator was thinking, here's a situation where there's certainly processes and procedures in terms of backing up and where to park your vehicle. Okay, well, why didn't he follow any of those? Second, the mine site invested in technology to help this guy out. They put a backup camera there for him. And the good news is the camera helped him square right up, and he hit it dead on. So I guess there was a target on there. I will say in all defense that I don't see this is a tag-based system, and I don't see a tag on this light vehicle anywhere, so perhaps that light vehicle wasn't tagged. All right. And again, not only is it the lower speed type of reactions and base functions that deteriorate, we also have a lot of the higher level tasks. And that is, again, this risk-taking and moral reasoning, so we tend to make poorer decisions. So the idea is that with some of these pictures I've shown is certainly there are processes, procedures, even technology in place out in the pit to help guys when they are fatigued and give them guidance. But why is it that we don't follow those processes and procedures? Right? When you put your fatigue glasses on for a minute, you think, well, maybe this guy was actually impaired. You know, Mike brought up this fact that fatigued people actually behave as if they are intoxicated. And if you're intoxicated, again, one of the first symptoms of intoxication is your ability to make sound decisions. You know, and for instance, the guy that parked this light vehicle, you know, what was he thinking when he parked there? Every mine site I've ever been to has got a process or a procedure, some rules about where you can park. Why did this guy on this particular day choose to ignore those rules? The good news is I noticed that the drill is quite level, so it wasn't a total loss, I suppose. All right, and probably one of the most important bits of research that, in the last bit of research I'll talk about right now, is there's been a lot of work done on the relationship between fatigue and distraction. All right, and typically when we think about fatigue, we think about people falling asleep while driving or nodding off or having the micro sleeps. But I'm trying to point out here that there are a lot of different aspects of fatigue that are not just about having your eyes closed. And this particular study, again, was a very academic study. They took a number of subjects, had a control group, and then sleep-deprived some of the others. And then what they did was they gave them a time-on-task activity to do, and they were measured on this time-on-task. But the interesting thing is, as this person focused on his time on task activity, there was a television screen on the wall 90 degrees from that person with a popular television show on it. And the idea was that they were rewarded for not being distracted or not looking at the television and punished if they were, or points were taken away, punished, if the subject actually turned their head to look at this television set. And one of the things you notice is that people who are not sleep deprived perform incredibly better than people who are sleepy and have distractions near them. So, you know, I think in sort of layman's terms, the idea is when you're tired and you're doing a mundane, boring task, your mind is out searching for things to do, right? It's out looking to be creative and keep itself occupied. If you think about that in terms of a truck driver that's in this pit that I worked at with a long grinding haul up out of the pit walls, you know, what's that truck driver doing? All the stuff that we know that happens after, they're reading books, they're reading magazines, they're playing with their phone, their iPad, their iPod, their VIMS box, their fleet management system. They're looking outside at bunnies, rabbits, chipmunks, whatever it is, anything to keep the mind occupied. In fact, it's almost a psychological condition that your mind is out searching for things to do instead of focusing on the task at hand. Oops. So, you know, here's another classic example of things that happens in our industry quite a bit. But I guess what I'd like you to think about is, was that person actually fatigued? Did they have a microsleep and run off the road, or were they actually distracted, not paying attention to what they were doing? So the point I'm trying to make here is that all, you know, when we have these safety incidents and events, these issues of fatigue, distraction, and alertness, and boredom, all come together in a single place, right? So Mike told us about a train accident where they did an investigation. They had 500 causations. Well, think about if you look at these things and you have your fatigue glasses on and start to realize that some percentage of that may actually be fatigue related, then this issue of fatigue becomes a much larger and more realistic problem. All right. And, you know, as a mining engineer from a reality standpoint, for a guy that spent a lot of time out in pits and mines, one of the things I always thought about is, well, you know, if I look out at my mobile equipment, why are on any fleet of equipment that's over 6 months old, why are the ladders always bent? Why is the paint scraped off the bumpers? Why are there cuts in the side of the tires? Now, look, there's a whole bunch of reasons for those. But if you start to think about these with your fatigue lenses on, you start to understand that, well, maybe a lot of these issues in our industry are really about fatigue. All right? And so, as a guy that's also been involved in proximity detection systems and fatigue monitoring systems that collect data and tell us how many proximity detection events we've had and how many events of fatigue we've had, do those really correlate to the number of real heavy equipment incidents? All right, and the problem is that the number of incidents we have on a mine site is actually quite small. So you have this statistically small set of data to work with, but yet we know that people have microsleeps almost continuously. If you look at any data set from a fatigue monitoring system, almost everybody shows signs of fatigue on night shifts or even in that siesta period in the afternoon. So, for instance, I work for a company that has a fatigue monitoring system. We detect the number of fatigue incidents that a person might have. Typically, and commonly, they're known as microsleeps. At a mine site that we installed the system on in South America, we saw a 75% decrease in the number of microsleeps that we were detecting after the system was initiated and a rigorous fatigue management plan was built around that technology. But, you know, really, you as mining operators, the real question is, if we decrease the number of fatigue events that we're measuring, does this actually correspond to a reduction in the number of incidents? All right. Well, I guess one of the things I really want to share with you today is that the company I work for, GuardVant, we've just installed the first ever integrated fatigue monitoring and proximity detection system. Now, Todd, who's just up here, up at Lion Creek. I know they've installed a fatigue monitoring system because I was involved with that installation, and now you've got a proximity detection system there. But this is a little bit different in that it's an integrated database where we can collect the data from both systems. All right. So this is essentially the system in the cab of a Liebherr truck. GuardVant has an OEM relationship with Liebherr, and they've sort of pioneered this concept of a universal system for both proximity detection, fatigue monitoring, and a universal computer system that can actually operate a fleet management system, your engine management systems, and any other technologies that might be on that truck. And so what we have here is a camera-based or a gaze-based system, as Mike told us or phrased it earlier this morning. It's an infrared-based system, so it can see in the dark, see through your dark glasses, your safety glasses. There's some infrared-emitting light pods here on the dash, which has been integrated into a nice console. The computer screen that you see here is this universal screen that I've talked about that also includes the ProxGuard proximity detection system. In this particular case, if a blow-up of that screen, it's a five-camera system, which allows you to have visibility around the truck and all the blind spots, and then it uses a radar system to detect objects around the truck. And in this particular case, there was a person on the front right, and that camera came up automatically as the largest camera, and you can still see the other views around the truck. We at GuardVant believe that sort of the future of mining technologies is in a universal hardware platform. Todd mentioned all the different screens in the trucks. This really is a big issue in our industry. There are many, many vendors like myself who are out there trying to sell you our technology that we've come up with. We've come up with with what we call our mobile server, which has the ability to run both our fatigue monitoring system, our object detection system. If you wanted to, you could operate your fleet management system on this box. We could put biometric systems on it, put your fire suppression system, tire monitoring, whatever other types of technologies you might have on your truck on a universal hub. So the idea of the system is that we have our fatigue monitoring system and our proximity detection system all feeding into a central analytical server with a database, has a reporting system that allows you to analyze those bits of data. Now, the idea is that we would now have proximity detection with fatigue data to correlate how the performance of a fatigued operator has on proximity in the pit, but we also would then correlate with your mine's incident investigations reports to see real-world incidents, because the issue is that, you know, you can have a microsleep and not have an accident, but how do you know, right? So although there was some exposure, as we talked about this morning, we didn't actually have an incident. And in fact, you could plug your fleet management system into this our database and then compare that information with production data as well. So in this same mine in South America that I mentioned earlier, you know, so we gather all this fatigue information that we have. We put this in the form of a daily report so you can actually monitor the performance of various operators in the pit. And the idea is that in this site that we've just installed in Africa, we'll also be able to correlate that with the proximity data. So just really in quick summary of what we've talked about today, you know, fatigue has become a major concern in our industry. It's not just about safety, it's about performance as well. Fatigue manifests itself in a number of different ways. It's just not drowsiness. It's just not this idea that you might fall asleep while being behind the wheel. It's also about your ability to evaluate risks your reaction times, and sort of the emotional baggage you carry along with that. There's a very strong relationship between fatigue and performance, and I believe that collisions in mines between mobile equipment and fatigue is really two sides of the same coin. They're really interrelated problems because of the symptoms that fatigue has on operators. Guardvan has developed technology to assist drivers with both fatigue and proximity, and we record that information in a single database so we can then manage that and understand those relationships and build changes into our operation to better improve it. And that first system has been installed in Southern Africa just last month.
Do we have any questions for John? I have a question. Did I miss something? Did we actually correlate between fatigue and proximity detection events? Or are we still collecting the data?
Yeah, that's right. We're still collecting the data. The system has just been installed. We haven't got the data yet. So, but it's in the process of being done now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Well, how about a round of applause for John?